Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Thank you, Dave. It's a pleasure to be with you today. Thank you so much for tuning in. Honestly, the last time that I spoke to you, so much has transpired. My head is spinning. And it literally is, because that very evening I took a tumble right outside my door here, sprawled flat on the ice, and Mama Bear has not recovered since. So say a prayer for moi, will ya? Other than that, we've had some snow today. There's been some meetings for the Baltimore Jazz Alliance. Things are happening as far as the genre of jazz in beautiful Charm City, where we're located. And we've got the amazing Pete Gitlin coming up next hour. We're going to solve the problems of the world. No, really, what we're going to do is we're going to focus on this new single. If you have not heard Epiphany for the Children, get ready. We're going to also dip back into Amplify, which was his profoundly wonderful CD from a couple of years ago, and just get into the groove of all things creative and hybrid for this show, because honestly, there are going to be some songs that might even trip you out, and I'm not kidding. We like to start the show with a classic, as you know. Today is no different, from 1964. Mary Lou Williams, It Ain't Necessarily So, from Black Christ of the Andes, on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
girl, you look a little restless. Yeah, well, you need to come on with me, because I'm going where the fun is. Come on, don't get lazy now. Just a little bit up the road. Just around this.
But there is nothing to be.
Oh, look, y'all. We could listen to that song all bloody day, couldn't we? Oh, jeez, that's good stuff. 1974, The Main Ingredient from Euphrates River. Also featuring songs on there, by the way, by Seals and Crofts, Ashford and Simpson, Stevie Wonder. That is a song that was written by Brian Auger, who you heard right before The Main Ingredient. Happiness is Just Around the Bend. Woo! Cuba Gooding Sr. has plans afoot. I just found this out this morning. I'm really tickled about this. Hopefully things haven't changed, but according to the website, and then I made sure that I double-checked, and it looks like it's still in the planning stages or maybe the finishing of the planning stages. It's going to be a new film called Everybody Plays the Fool about Cuba Gooding Sr., featuring his sons in a movie. He's wanted to do this, and they were talking about production in 2014, so I'm not sure where they are in this process, but I'll keep you apprised of that situation. I love that idea. Brian Auger, we heard, Language of the Heart, a seven-song set. Man, this project is so cool. 2012. Written and arranged by Brian Auger and T. Now T, T-E-A, is comprised of keyboard and percussion man Phil Bunch and guitarist, I'm just going to say it the way that sounds pompous, Frank Balofe. He may pronounce it Frank Balofet, but it just is spelled in such a way that you need to say Frank Balofe. So this particular situation got to be because Frank and Phil were doing a world music set with some astute people in the world of world music, and they had approached Brian about the possibility of doing something with him. Well, once Brian heard the kind of rhythms that they were capable of, Brian said, yes, I really can't wait to work with you because I feel you. And when they presented the tunes or some melodies that they had in mind for Brian's project, he immediately felt a kind of syncopation, if you will, or serendipity, like maybe he had heard the songs before. He felt really at home. So everything came together with this project. So beautiful. Jeff Skunk Baxter is on this. Julian Coriel, son Karma Auger, daughter Savannah Auger, Remy Kabaka, and Andre Manga. Just beautiful work. And the tune that you heard is Venice Street Fair, which is just gorgeous. And there are a couple of songs in which Brian sings, and then there are some instrumentals. It ends with a song called Ella about Brian's wife and the mother of Karma and Savannah. Just gorgeous. Beach is in the chat room along with Pete Gitlin. Yay! Pete's going to be with us next hour. And Beach had said, you know, you need to get Brian back on the show. I would love to. I think that he took a little bit of a retreat, a step backward, just to contemplate the situation of his friend Jeff Golub. And I'm thinking about Jeff all the time. I hope you are too, and keep him in your good thoughts and prayers, because he really needs us to be ongoing in that thought process and prayer process too. We started off the show, It Ain't Necessarily So, from Black Christ of the Andes, Mary Lou Williams from 1964, the Gershwin classic that is some favorite take on that particular song. Many people have said, I've heard that song done a gazillion times, but that's the definitive version. Beautiful. Mary Lou, as you may or may not know, fearless piano master and pioneer. Amazing work. Duke Ellington called her the First Lady of Jazz. He meant every single word. Theodore Cromwell on bass. George of the Jungle. Why am I thinking that? George Chambi on drums. The Mary Lou Williams Festival is coming up at the Kennedy Center in May. So far, I know that Renee Marie, Patrice Rushen, and Annette Cohen will be there. It is now a festival that is open up to men as well. It had heretofore been a women-only kind of endeavor, but I have mixed feelings about that, but I know the folks who are decision makers and am trusting their judgment that all will go well. I'm liking seeing all these females that are participating, so we'll keep you abreast of that particular situation too. Pete Gitlin, who is a guitar guru, that's what I always say about him. He has the right to be called that because he's been playing guitar for decades in a myriad of genres. He has something that is out now called Epiphany for the Children that is genre bending. We love that. You're going to hear the song. I played it once already on Hybrid Jazz, but you'll hear it again, and you'll hear a couple of smoking tracks, tracks that we haven't played before from Amplify, his CD that he had out a year or so ago. But all of the tracks on Amplify are really a revelation because each of them is a tad different. You don't expect the kinds of songs that you hear on a project like this, and that makes it so exciting. So keep that in mind. I'm going to play something for you. I thought of Tom Harrell recently because he and Wayne Escoffery have worked so closely together and so beautifully, and it was Wayne's birthday just the other day. This was something that Tom Harrell, who's celebrating a big birthday this year, decades of music he has given us. Last year, he presented a gift, Colors of a Dream, very different than what we're hearing from this trumpeter and flugelhornist. This is called Tango, featuring the aforementioned Wayne Escoffery and some other notables, including Esperanza Spalding, on Hybrid Jazz. Enjoy. Thank you. This is Hybrid Jazz.
I broke our baby with you.
Whew, that is some piece of work, isn't it? I just love when Diana Krall gets involved in the blues. She's just got one of those voices that lends itself to the smokier side of life. You know what I'm saying? And that, let me tell you something. The person who wrote this song, we could spend an entire show on. Actually, we'd need more hours because of the catalog of music that the late, great Doc Pomus has given to us. Amazing. Born Jerome Salone Felder, and his brother is the great Raul Felder, the attorney in New York. When you read about Doc and all that he accomplished in a set of very challenging circumstances in his life, because he was disabled, but he certainly wasn't as far as his prowess with writing great songs. I mean, if I was to enumerate the songs that you have known and loved through the years, that one, it's not that everybody has heard Lonely Avenue, but when you hear Diana sing that song, it just comes to life, and then you realize the background of this writer. And Diana just gravitated. She wanted to do something that was outside of the box, bless her heart. She remembered all of the songs, like the 20s and the 30s songs, the older songs that her dad had on vinyl. She, as a little girl, would just go back and play those records, sometimes behind his back. And remembering those songs just rekindled something in her in the past few years. So that is why Glad Ragdoll was born. Lonely Avenue, a part of that, and production. Who better to do this with old-timey music than T-Bone Burnett? He had to have an excuse to put a banjo or two in there. I love him so much. Oh, my God. Look, you need to know this about Diana. Her new tour starts on 4/4, my son's birthday. But it's not going to be a new in the sense that she's got something new to plug. She's wrapping up her final 10 stops for Glad Ragdoll, and then she's going to be a part of this big cruise in late September to the 10th of October, StarVistaCruises.com. Randy Brecker, John Clayton, and Nat Cohen, that's the house band on the cruise. There's more than that, but you get the idea. Going to Saint-Tropez, Florence, Marseille, Mallorca. Man, it's going to be hot. Diana Krall, sure would be nice to be able to talk to her before she goes. We'll work on that. Kevin Eubanks, guitarist, teacher, most respected Mac Avenue artist from The Messenger. You heard a song called M-I-N-D. Philadelphia born, always a pleasure to play a Philly brethren. Older brother Robin, trombonist. Younger brother Dwayne, trumpeter. Actually, both of them were on The Messenger, as was Bill Pierce on tenor and soprano saxophone, doing a tasty job. Rene Camacho, also Joey DeLeon Jr., Alvin Chia. Good folks abound on this CD. And Kevin, who you might recall as leader of The Tonight Show from 95 to 2010, yes, and he's doing his thing. He's keeping it a little quiet. I have to find out more about Kevin because I lately found out that he is a pescatarian, which is a person who avoids the flesh of animals except for seafood. So I have to figure out the difference between the vegan, the vegetarian, and the pescatarian. And I recall one of the funnier moments in Notting Hill with Hugh Grant and Julia Roberts when he was dating a fruititarian. You have to see the movie and find out what I mean. Pete Gitlin is coming up at the top of next hour, just about 10 minutes away, and we've got some tunage in the meantime. Can't wait to talk to my friend, the guitar guru, who's getting energized and reinvigorated via his water. He lives in Arizona. that in and of itself is enough fodder for a conversation for an hour or so, don't you think? Yeah. Anyway, we'll get to Pete momentarily. Let us play one of our Baltimore Pride and Joys, Prides and Joys, Pride and Joy, hometown hero Gary Bartz from 1995, Soulmate from Red and Orange Poems on Hybrid Jazz. this. A beat away. It goes forever, doesn't it? This is Hybrid Jazz.
Pisces is ruled by the planet Neptune. It is a water sign. As most emotional, insecure signs of the zodiac, you need love, love, and more love. You would be miserable and unhappy without having someone on whom you could lavish affection and from whom to receive it in return. Pisces is noted for being self-sacrificing in romantic relationship. This is the result of your great need for love. Your need for sex is much less strong, although it may not seem so to people who observe your penchant for becoming involved in sexual adventures. But actually, sex to you is a part of love, unimportant in itself. Seek through sex to establish a closer rapport with a loved one. When you feel really secure in someone's love, you can do without sex if necessary. But when you don't really feel secure in someone's love, which often happens since you are jealous and a worrier, you go from one love sex encounter to another. You want a close romantic relationship. Try always to have one. You enjoy helping others and listening to their problems. Pisces, in other words, you're just downright sweet, lovable people. Ain't that loving you, baby?
River of light. It's the sun.
Right there. Yes, it's true. Some white people do have soul. Right there is where you want to find it if you're looking for it, okay? Woo! It was such a wonderful little journey to know that Pete Gitlin was going to be on the show today because it gave me a chance to reacquaint myself in a big way with Amplify, which was out a couple of years ago now. And, you know, when you hear songs for the first time, sometimes it has a vastly different chemical reaction than when you hear it the fifth or sixth time down the road. Some things happen to you, and a song just doesn't hit you initially. But then when life has confronted you in such a way as to maneuver your mind, and you hear a song like Soul Connection, and everything just falls into place, and you start to get the towels out because there's just a wealth of good stuff that's all around you now. This sort of, if you will excuse the expression, amplifies the good stuff. Hearing that song on Amplify, ladies and gentlemen, please let me present to you my guitar guru, a bassist, a composer, shall we say, social activist extraordinaire, my friend Pete Gitlin. Pete.
Surfing Pete. On a river of light, yeah. I'm surfing on a river of light.
Man.
You got me?
I feel you, baby. I feel you, bro.
You know, thanks for the kind words about that song. That song is a fun song, I got to say. There's a lot going on there, and got to say that's Dominic Amato playing the vocoder, his sax through the vocoder, or the iwi through the vocoder thing.
I love it.
Michael Broning on keys, Michael and Cindy Bradley's producer, and just a ridiculously good keyboard player. You know, I mean, surround yourself with good talent, and you're going to end up with something that sounds mighty, mighty nice. So.
And see, this album is so great because, you know, I was not acquainted with you so much, and now, of course, I am a huge fan. But when I heard each track, every single track tells a different story, and that's not something that I can say or anybody can say who loves music. You made it a point to be eclectic and creative and energetic. Man, this album is so good. I have to tell you that again.
Oh, my goodness. And look, at my hat size just went up about two sizes. That's awesome, Trish. And thank you, because that was sort of the goal when we did the record, was to not put out sort of a generic, you know, fits in whatever mold you want to call it, but to try and, you know, push a bunch of boundaries in jazz and smooth jazz and rock. I mean, there's country sounding music on there. Of course, you know, in my weird world, I have to have a country music with an electric sitar on it, because that's what I think. It's like, you know, you've already figured that out, I know, over the last year in our various conversations. But
yes.
But no, there's hard rock stuff with distorted guitar pads, and there's Philly soul type sounding. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. I just try and play stuff that makes me feel good and happy, and hopefully connects with the audience, which I think this one did. It's done real well. It's continuing to do well, and I don't know. It's a good one. Thank you for playing that song. I love that song. That's so much fun.
Oh, I do too, and I think that you know exactly what you're doing, because here's why, and I have told this to a number of people since I have known you. When you have played guitar for as long as you have, you know, you're decades into knowing that instrument really well, and any kind of string thing, because you play bass as well, but you were doing rock and fusion and funk when you were in your teens and in your 20s. You're a baby boomer like me now, so, you know,
right.
you went off to do the corporate thing and became a vice president at a Fortune 500 company, and now you're doing this amalgam of all of the music that you've heard during your many years here on Earth. So everything that you do makes sense. And by the way, I have to tell you, you alluded to that country-flavored song on Amplify. This is so wild, because later on, I'm going to play that song back-to-back with Brian Bromberg and Hayride.
Awesome. And you know what I named? I named it Cowboys and Indians, because it's like cowboys and like Indians with the sitar from New Delhi or something, because I'm weird.
Yes.
But I think that whole last thing you said was a really nice way of saying I'm really old. But I take it as a compliment anyway. It's okay.
Look, you know that I am not calling anybody anything, because I know how old you are, and I won't say, but I'll be 62 this year. So, look, I can say anything I damn well want. Okay, Pete?
and you know I like hanging out with young chicks like you, Trish. So.
Well, thank you, she said as she twirled her hair. So,
exactly.
So, Pete, it's a loaded question, but what's new?
Well, we could go in a lot of directions. I mean, I think one of the reasons I wanted to come on here today was maybe to talk about the new single, which has just been released. So that's certainly new. But then there's political stuff going on in the great state of Arizona. I have another name for Arizona, but it is not repeatable on over the polite, you know. But it starts with dumb, and I won't go further than there. But we have an interesting state here, but, you know, there's stuff going on, and we'll see. I think it's all going to work out okay. But the single's the new thing, which I'm really excited about, and appreciate your taking, you know, saying nice things about it and helping promote it a little bit here.
Well, here's the situation with this single, and it really does have to do with the state of Arizona and what else I see happening on Facebook. There is a gentleman who I'm just getting to know, Marquel Jordan, who's a saxophonist, and he's based in Chicago, and he is a wonderful man, and he not only tours with Brian Culbertson, but also a saxophonist known on his own, playing all sorts of music in and around the clubs in Chicago. And along the lines of what you've just alluded to with Arizona, he was very upset in the past couple of days because he saw that a person who owns an Irish-themed bar in Chicago has stated publicly that there were entirely too many black people in the bar.
Oh, my God. Oh.
So... you know, when you start to get, and this is tying into your single because it's all about children, what kind of world are we going to leave for our children if we don't get verbally vigilant about this kind of crap?
Right. No, I agree with you there. I mean, I thought, you know, I saw a really interesting photo that showed things in like the 1890s, it was the Irish and Italians who were viewed as, as not fully people. They didn't want to, we don't want to hire, you know, Irish or Italians. This is, you know, in the U.S. And then in the 1930s and 40s, of course, it was the Jews and Nazi Germany. And throughout all this, you know, right up into the 1960s when you know, black people in this country actually started to achieve some level of equal rights, and now here it is. You'd think we're past this. Here it is,
right.
2014, and it's the gay and bi and trans community that is now viewed as less than equal, and it drives me absolutely nuts. And to live in a state, and Arizona is a beautiful state. You know, geographically, we've got the Grand Canyon. It's just gorgeous. The weather's fabulous most of the time, except when it's ridiculously hot. But it is filled with a lot of very, very bigoted politicians. There's no other way to put it. You don't need to be polite about it. They quote scripture all the time, but they certainly can't possibly read. They can't possibly read scripture because if Jesus were to come back, these are not the people he'd be very happy with.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Listen, one of my favorite bumper stickers of all time, it says, Jesus is coming back, and boy, is he pissed.
Yeah, exactly. I've seen that one. So, you know, what we've got here is a quote religious freedom law, which says that, not, you know, people, but it's a very bizarre law because it also gives gives personhood to corporations. In other words, it says corporations or businesses have the same rights as people. I mean, look, this is the U.S., and if you run a, you know, if you don't want to serve a gay person, I guess, you can be stupid enough to not do that. That's, you know, that's your right to be dumb. But this is giving those rights to companies. So, like, imagine a company says, well, we have these certain religious, you know, strongly held religious values, and we don't think women should be paid as much as men, or we don't think that we won't hire a gay person. It just goes on and on. What if you're an EMT, an emergency medical technician? You show up at the scene of an accident and identify that one of the victims in the accident is a gay person. You could, under this law, say, I'm not gonna take care of this person because I think they're sinful. There's so much. But Governor Brewer is going to veto it. I know that. What bothers me is that,
hallelujah. Really?
Well, it hasn't come out yet, but you know, when the NFL is saying, you know, dropping hints that we may pull the Super Bowl from next January, and when Apple and Marriott and you know, American Airlines and all these huge corporations are saying, we really think this is a crappy idea. And Apple's planning to invest, you know, building a big new factory here. Google, supposedly, Phoenix is one of the test sites coming up for Google's gigabit in Ethernet, so really high-speed Internet connections. And these are companies that support, you know, equality for everyone, not special rights for anyone, just equality for everyone. And,
right.
And, but she's not gonna veto it because it's a horrible, homophobic, unconstitutional piece of legislation. She's going to veto it because economically she can see it's bad for the state and embarrassing. And I wish she would come out and say, this is a terrible law, not just it's going to hurt us economically. But whatever she does, I know she's going to veto it over the next few days.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that money has to talk in this instance, but if I certainly hope that the ACLU is involved in this as well, because as many people, you know, loathe the idea of having that agency in our country, and you know, you say those four letters to teabaggers and they go out of their minds. What little hair they have left, they tear out. But the ACLU will not permit that kind of total incivility or indecency happening in any state. You know, everybody has the right to do what personally they want to do, but if you're going to point a finger at any group of people and say, oh, no, I'm going to deny you emergency rights, I'm going to deny you a drink of water, we are not going to go back to 1957 in any way, shape, or form.
Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's just, I think it's already done, again, a ton of damage to Arizona. I mean, we seem to be in a competition with Kansas and Tennessee and Alabama for the dumbest state in the country, and we just keep, you know, we keep upping the ante here in Arizona. I think we're going for the title. I think we can do it if we just try a little bit harder.
Jeez. And you know, it speaking as a woman, first of all, Governor Brewer should have been reprimanded a lot more loudly when she had that finger in the face confrontation with our president a few years ago. I've been simmering since then because nobody has the right, but I think that she thought because she was female, she was going to get a pass. She gives women a bad name. Oh my God. God bless you for living there, baby.
Yeah, it like I said, it's a fun place, and the golfing is great, and there's lots of good stuff about Arizona. Our politics are really screwy. But
yeah, and it's such a beautiful state. It truly is, and hopefully if we stay positive and keep on it, because that's what people have tended to stray from, Pete, in these past few years. You know, I'm thinking of Trayvon Martin. Do you know how vocally we were raising our voices in unison about that sham of a trial? But you know what? After a while, people just brushed it aside. Oh, okay, it's yesterday's news. It really baffled me. We can't
be
silent.
No, you can't. We cannot be silent. It's great to be vocal and to put things on Facebook and Twitter, and we all do it and we feel good about it. You got to register to vote and vote. I mean, the big problem we have is that even in, you know, a presidential, you know, the most important elections, it's still only 50 or 52% of the electorate votes. Maybe even less than that. I mean, if people are going to be silent, silence equals apathy. And so you have no right to complain in our democratic system if you're not willing to register and then get down there and vote. I mean, look, these Republican crazy people who made these laws here got elected by majorities. There's no question about that. So if you don't register, if you don't go out and vote, then you end up with people like this running things. And unfortunately, that small base of lunatics they do vote. They vote on what they think is right, and they come out, you know, they come out and vote. So if we don't, if sane people don't, then we'll have insane policies being created by our lawmakers. Wow, I'm on a rant now.
I know that, and you know what? I will pull back, but here's what.
No,
remember what Dr. King said. And I love it, and this is paraphrasing, but it's so ingrained to my soul now. And, yes, he probably wasn't the first person to have said this, but he said it in an eloquent way, which is that if you are silent on those things that matter, you might as well be siding with the enemy.
Right.
So.
Dr. King also said that the arc of justice, and I'm paraphrasing, the arc of justice is long, but or the arc of history is long, but it moves towards justice. So, you know, Arizona is going to be a blue state. It might be 4 years, it might be 8 years, but demographically we are going to win. It's just the question is how much damage is done in the interim. So, anyway, welcome to the
Good for you.
Pete Gitlin Show. Welcome to the Pete Gitlin Show featuring Trish Hennessy. Trish, how are you feeling? How are things going out there in the East Coast?
You know what, Pete? They're fine, and I, of course, you know, you're always allowed to just say anything that you want to because I know your heart, I know your mind, and you have a right to say this because you've lived in such a way that you have become very wise. So if it was anybody else, I would think twice, but look, it's you. And things are fine in Baltimore. You know, we're a work in progress here. We're learning as we're going. At least in Phoenix, you were not voted one of the 10 most violent cities in America. Thank you very much. So,
that's because we're an open carry state, and so everybody's got guns, and that protects us all. I'm being
okay.
Okay. I'll tell you what, though, this is one state where when that guy is tailgating you and or cuts you off on the highway, the really proper thing to do is to look over at them and say, smile and say, thank you very much, because you never know if he's going to pull out his gun and, like, kick, you know, blast you off the highway with it. So I'm like, I chill out there on the highway. It's like, all right, you go ahead. I'll get to my place soon enough.
Exactly, yes. Oh, my gosh, you know that. Ooh, that is an image to think about because what do people do when there are incidents on the highway that elicit rage?
You know, the funny thing is I'm not anti-gun. I'm not anti-hunting. I've hunted in the past, and, I have no problem with people hunting for food or having, you know, a gun for some sort of personal protection. When we lived back in another incarnation, when I lived out in the boonies in New Hampshire, and I would go traveling for, you know, days at a time. My wife had a gun at the house and kept it loaded, kept it where the kids could never find it. But I felt like, you know, if somebody came out here with bad intentions and we're really out in the boonies, I don't have a problem with that. But
right.
there's just some real craziness here where people seem to think that a gun is a solution to a problem of somebody playing loud music or driving too fast and stuff. And then, you know.
To call what you're describing as the lunatic fringe.
Let
us not mince words here because this is the kind of place, since I'm paying for this radio show every month, you know what?
Yep.
Nobody's breathing down my shoulder to say what I can or cannot say. And things have to change. We have to keep on moving things forward. And all of what we have talked about, actually, is really inspired, honest to goodness, Pete, by your song, because you were inspired by what you saw and heard in regard to Sandy Hook. That's what birthed Epiphany for the Children. And you were thinking about all of this.
Let me tell you, you might know this a little bit, but that song came to me in a dream.
Wow.
About probably 30 to 45 days after the tragedy at Sandy Hook. Almost fully formed, and I just woke up from this dream with the music and almost all the words in my head, and I was fortunate enough to always keep a guitar right next to my bed, because that's what we crazy musicians do. and I played it and wrote it down and said, wow, this is really something. But I just feel like the song was, you know, it was channeled through me. I don't even feel like I really had much to do with it, because it was right there in this dream. And you know, the point of the song was not to say, you know, guns bad, don't shoot kids, because, it's obvious, that part. But it was more to just to look at this situation and say, try and find a way to make some sense out of it, to say, there's some way that we can be more as one people instead of just so divided. And, you know, I think the song has started to strike a chord with people, which makes me very, very happy, because it's music with a message. And sometimes, you know, we write these, like I write happy, most of the songs I write are very happy. Soul Connection's a happy song, you know?
Mm.
Lucky in Love and Amplify, they're all happy songs. But this song just has a message. And I think maybe, you know, I was thinking about this a little bit over the last month or so, because I went and saw that Inside Llewyn Davis movie, which sort of takes place in the 60s, Greenwich Village protest center.
Oh, yeah,
It was a good movie. I don't think it was a great movie. It was a good movie, though, and I was, you know, I was down there in Greenwich Village at the time, you know, when I was, as a 12-year-old, like, you know, watching those guys do their thing. And it's like, what happened to music as being, like, a force for social change? It seems like so much music today is either just happy or I don't even want to talk about, you know, Miley Cyrus and just dumb, you know.
Booty-inducing music. Yeah, okay.
And there's nothing, by the way, there's nothing wrong with shaking one's booty from time to time. I have no problem with that. And like I told Beej, I was dancing around the room here to the Main Ingredient when you were playing them about 45 minutes ago. But music used to be an agent of change in this country. I mean, would the Vietnam War have, maybe it would have gone much longer if it hadn't been for Dylan and Pete Seeger and Joan Baez and people. And I'm not trying to compare myself to them. I mean, that sounds ridiculous. But it just seems that everything these days is just, it's sort of mindless, and at least lyrically. So this one,
I don't know.
I liked how it came out, and it's a little bit of little controversial in some of the things I said in it, but that's good. That gets people talking.
Well, you know what? One of the particularly positive thoughts that I had regarding your song is that it's just amazing to me, and you've noticed this, Pete, I'm sure you have, but there are a handful of parents whose children were lost that day in Connecticut, and they have become activists so that no parent should ever go through this again. Can you imagine the presence of mind, the serenity of being, to be someone who is so magnanimous to the human race that you get over the unbelievable grief that you have because your child was taken from you violently, but yet you know that the only way you're going to keep your sanity is to move along so that other people don't suffer like you are? Can you imagine that?
I mean, you're saying I'm not positive I can imagine it. You know, one of the children that was lost was the daughter of James Green, who's a musician and part of our community, part of our extended musical community. And I didn't know him, but I was like, I was 2 degrees away because I know other musicians who didn't know him. And no, I don't think I can imagine how's that. I'm not sure if I can imagine it, but.
Well, but the thing is that you wrote this song, and when those parents hear this song, this may actually be more inspiration for them to keep on trying to change the world. This is your gift to them. So always remember that. That's it's like medicine to hear this song.
And I just want to say beyond that, half of all the proceeds, you know, whatever I get from the song, I'm not trying to make money from it. But it's going to the Newtown Foundation, the Newtown Alliance, which is the organization that's put together by the parents and extended families to try and continue to expand the message of peace and change that we really do need in this country. So this is not a peep, you know. I made my millions off of Amplify. Okay, that was a joke. That was.
Oh my God.
I'm donating the dollars that come in from it. So I do encourage everybody to go out to iTunes or Amazon or your download site of choice. It's not available as a hard copy. It's a digital single, and it's for 99 cents. At least you get a pretty cool tune, and some of those dollars are, you know, half those dollars are going to the Newtown Foundation/Newtown Alliance.
That is wonderful. I did not know that. Good for you.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
See, you know, when you do something like that, it comes back to you tenfold. It might not come back to you right away, but you are going to see some things happening with this single that you did not expect. Trust me.
I think so. You know, the other thing is just if anybody and I think I got a bunch of my friends out there in the airwaves and who might be listening today because they said they're going to.
Yes.
But you can go out on iTunes there and just either search my name or Epiphany. Excuse me, not iTunes, YouTube. There is a video up on YouTube that was we put together a stop motion animation by an artist friend of mine in Memphis, Tennessee, named Lynette May, a very talented artist, did a video for the song. And it's very childlike. It's like little child drawings, and it just to me it really sort of captures the innocence. That was unfortunately lost on that terrible day, but that video is out there, and I'm excited about that very much because it did capture the feeling as well. So check it out, Pete.
Well, we're going to hear the tune, and of course, we absolutely have to say before we play it, you have to tell us a little bit about the wondrous Leah Capelli.
Okay. I'd love to. Well, the vocalist, I was going to sing it myself, but then I thought, no, I actually want people to listen to the song and not scream any other. I'm your guitar guru, Trish. I'm not your vocal guru. Leah is a 19-year-old young lady here from the Phoenix area.
Man, 19.
She is a wonderful singer. She started out with a bit of an opera background, so she sings in a bunch of different styles. She plays a bunch of the gigs around here. She's actually been in New York and L.A., and there's starting to develop some industry buzz around her.
That's great.
She's a young lady with an old soul. She's also a model. She's signed with the Ford Agency. She's strikingly beautiful.
Oh, wow.
And you know this, but other people might not. She is the legs on the cover of Amplify, my CD, her mom Kelly is the photographer, pretty well known, you know, fashion photographer. So she's the photographer and designer of the Amplify CD, and that's
great.
Leah's legs on the cover. So she's multi talented. I think we're going to hear a lot more from her over the next couple of years, because she does have a spectacular voice and really interpreted the lyrics beautifully. She got them immediately. you know, one of the things, and when you play the song, there's a bridge to the song, and the words in that actually were inspired by the novel by Hermann Hesse called Siddhartha, which is really sort of a novelization of the life of the Buddha. And when I told that to Leah, and she said, "Oh, I just finished reading that book." And to me, that was it gave me hope for the future to think that, you know, she was 18 at the time when we recorded, that an 18-year-old would actually be reading that book these days. And so watch for Leah. We'll see what her next, you know, her next thing is, but it's going to be really exciting. And she really did a great job. Also on the song is Michael Broning plays all the keyboards. I play all the guitars, basses, and the Ebo. The Ebo is an interesting electronic device that you play on, put on, sort of hold over the strings of your guitar and gives it like a violin bow-like feel. And it's produced by my producer and musical partner, John Herrera, right here in the Phoenix. He's one of the great drummers in the world and just a genius producer. So I am from Turning Point. He's from the band.
The
Phoenix band Turning Point, which has been probably the top fusion band here in the Phoenix area for 15, 20 years and still very popular. So I'm lucky to be surrounded by such extremely talented people.
You really are, and this all came together in a beautiful way. And thank you for explaining the Ebo, by the way, because I was wondering and was going to ask. This is just beautiful. Pete Gitlin, an extraordinary company, including Leah Capelli on vocals, Epiphany for the Children on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Cold light in the sky.
you know, Pete, honest to goodness, I that song is really indelibly in my head. The music is so beautiful, and then Leah's voice is just, it comes alive. I hear that young woman's voice in my head, and, you know, you were saying that she captured everything that you wanted with Epiphany for the Children. It's because, you know, she is, in a sense, a child herself. So yep. When you have that recognition, knowing that she's an old soul, but feeling a kinship with lost children, oh, my God, she was perfect for that song. Perfect.
Thank you. Thanks, Christian. You know, I think that's so accurate. I think that was part of why she was able to relate, being so young and, you know, being childlike herself. I mean, she's still just a babe in the woods. So, I'm hoping for good things. I think the song, you know, it ain't smooth jazz, right? I was concerned about, can we get this played? And I am using, I don't know if you know Jason Gorov from Las Vegas, but he's one of the premier promotion guys in the smooth jazz field.
Yes.
Jason and I talked about this a lot before moving ahead. And it's like, because my concern was, our station's going to play it, because it is way out of the box. And I'm happy to say that I got an email from Jason this morning that it's on the smoothjazz.com top added list for the first week it's been out. So it's being added to lots of stations that, you know, both terrestrial radio as well as internet streaming radio stations. Some that you would say play more traditional music, the traditional jazz that we would think of, or traditional smooth jazz, it's getting the it's starting to get the visibility. So I also think that maybe a lot of these stations are looking for, like you do with your program, expanding the palette of sounds that they provide to their listeners.
Right.
You know, I love being able to listen to a disco song and Nina Simone and Diana Krall and then Brian Culbertson or you know, it's all great music, and it doesn't have to be in one genre. So in any case, it's getting some plays and listeners, and that's always the goal when you're an artist, is the idea is to share your art with as many as you can.
Well, here's the situation about this particular song, and I'm not going to say songs like it, because there isn't a song like it that I know of right now in my world, and that's a really beautiful thing. You know, with hybrid jazz here, it's not that you're going to hear every nook and cranny of different kinds of music. But when you have a particular, if you're going to have a smooth jazz outlet, or you're going to have a traditional jazz outlet, or a pop-flavored station that is playing in these different pockets, songs that are sort of similar, there is a place for Epiphany for the Children in each of those and in more kinds of radio stations or radio outlets, because it's palatable for everyone. When you put this song in the mix of a contemporary jazz or a traditional jazz or adult contemporary, or here you go, a new age kind of station, there is a place for this song in that midst. You just have to know how to mix the music right in order to incorporate it, because that song pops. When people hear it, they go, wait a minute, what was that? And they want to go back and hear it again.
Well, Jason, if you're out there, listen to what Trish said. She's a very wise woman. Jason, he should be listening. He said he'd be on the line. Hey, can I do something completely? Can I just make a quick shout out?
Of course, you can do anything you want.
I just want to make a quick shout out to my beautiful girlfriend Tina, who has been studying her little booty off for the last 5 weeks, going for her certified nursing assistant certification. And she took the state boards on Saturday, and she just got the word last night that she passed both the written and the skill test. And I'm so proud of her. So, Edie, great job. I know you're out there someplace. I hope you better be listening, because if you're not, but shout out to Tina for she worked her butt off, and we're really happy to hear that she passed the state boards.
Oh, well, look, you know what? Then Tina is going to be able to support you in the way in which you wish to be accustomed. So,
exactly.
No problem.
Exactly.
No problem.
Now you get my motivation here. I'm glad somebody figures out.
Oh, she'll hear this and she'll either laugh or cry.
I'm also very well behaved because she's a second degree black belt in karate.
Whoa!
She's a petite little thing, but she's head of my security team because she could take any of us out in a second. So you know, I'm really well behaved.
Well, you know what? Then I am really glad that she is living in Arizona, because we need to have more women who are fierce like this and who are black belts, because I'm not even going to say it. My first thought was to say some of these folks need to get smacked around, but I don't really mean to say that, Pete. I don't
know, because we believe in peace and love. We will create change nonviolently through peace and love, and I'm still a hippie. You know me. I was out there in San Francisco in 1968. I still believe that Dr. King and Gandhi. I mean, it's a long road. It's never easy, but that's the way you get things done. So.
And look, I know that you're Gandified, and I'm coming from the Jesus angle, because Jesus said, turn your cheek and let your enemy smack you on the other side. So I hear you, brother. I hear you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, my God. I know. We just never know where these conversations go. And look, as far as Jason is concerned and what you hope to do with this single, certainly you can talk about any kind of event coming up or gigs that you have, but what would you like to see happen with this song? Do you have something in mind that really is a wish?
Okay, I'm going to start with what my initial thought on this song was to try and get it to Adele, you know, Adele the singer from Britain, and see if she would record it.
Oh, my God.
So the original plan was for this to just be a demo. The song that we just listened to was just going to be a demo to get to Adele. And I won't say I haven't tried it, but getting, you know, I'm getting to someone of that magnitude through her record company and AR people, it ain't easy. I'd still love to see that happen, but once we got this, quote, demo finished, we were all looking at each other and saying, wait a second, this is more than a demo. This is ready to go. So right now, my primary wish is that it simply gets picked up and on as many stations as possible, that the video potentially goes viral. You know, I had a video for one of my the songs from my first CD that got over 30,000 views on YouTube. I'd love to see people watch the video, get the message. And you know what? It would be nice to sell a bunch of them so that I could make a good contribution to the Newtown Foundation/Alliance. But more importantly, my dream for this song is that it opens people's hearts, that as many people as possible open up their hearts and feel something from the song. And that, beyond that, if anything happens financially or if it gets picked up by more, that's all gravy. But opening hearts is the primary goal.
You know, Pete, and I absolutely know that you're speaking the truth because you always do. But what would be really wonderful, and to conceive of this is pretty monumental, but if Adele were to find the song and feel a connection to it, how beautiful is it to think about someone from another country who is conveying a song that was inspired by an American in America to make it a global effort about how much we need to work as a global community to get rid of gun violence and rethinking our positions in every country about how we use guns. Oh, my God, Pete. Oh,
I agree. I agree. Well, if anybody wants to tweet Adele and say and put the link to the video, say, honey, you need to do this song. I mean, it would be perfect for her voice. Although I don't think she could do it better than Leah did. She could do it differently than Leah did.
Yes, yes.
But in the meantime, you know, we're going to see if we can get it played on as many stations as we can here in the U.S. and around the world. It's already been picked up in U.K. by a couple of stations. So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, and you know what? Leah does have a very much European tone in her voice. She does
she
not
sure does.
Sound necessarily like she is from the United States. It's very cool.
Absolutely. She's a very, very cool young lady. And like I said, we're going to hear a lot more from her beyond this song. She has got enormous talent, writes some of her own songs, performs beautifully live, operatically trained. She's the real deal.
Yeah, and you had alluded to this, and without going into further discussion about it, make sure you tell Leah if she gets a chance to hear this particular show or hear it in the archives when it will be available in the archives after 4 p.m. Eastern time. She really does need to stick to her sense of authenticity because lest anybody try to make her a Taylor Swift or a Beyonce, two different directions, she needs to be who Leah Capelli is. That's all.
Yep, I totally agree. I think that's a challenge for any young artist, and in particular for any young female artist in today's music biz, where the industry wants to both sexualize and homogenize you. So they don't want you to do anything to do the same thing, but be really sexual about it. And you know, but there are great women artists out there right now who are doing their thing and being true to their inner self. And that's what I think. I trust Leah to do that. Like I said, she's not only a very talented but very smart young lady, and I trust that she's going to do the right thing there.
Well, talking to my friends Matthew Schell, who is involved in a particular endeavor based in the greater D.C. area. He is a producer, and he's really, really good. If you Google him, you'll be kind of surprised at what he has been able to do. Actually, he has been part and parcel of doing the go-go mix for Selena Gomez and her song that was hot in 2013. He has in his stable of talent a young woman named Sydney Alexander. And it's really interesting, Pete, because I hear Leah and I hear Sydney, and there are elements of this new thought pertaining to each of these young women. And I'm thinking, how cool is this that I would hear Sydney and think of a younger version of Idina Menzel, as opposed to hearing these overtly sexual creatures that we see on our screens all the time. And when women get to be, even when they get to be big stars, they still cater to that archaic, sexist notion of how men perceive them, rather than making an inroad as to say, look, I'm me and I can do what I want, and here's a new version of what women are supposed to be. This is all of who we can be, not just what you've seen glorified and actually degraded as far as women are concerned in videos heretofore. So I'm on my boat now.
There
venting.
You go.
Easy.
Oh my God.
Somebody take the reins for God's sake. Somebody.
I know. We're back on the Pete Gillen show. We've about had it with Trish Hennessy. She's going off the
no.
No. Hey, you know I agree with you.
So. Yeah, I know you do. Well, I love what you are doing and this particular road you are on. And you are being very courageous because you know what you could have done? You could have very easily said to yourself, hey, Pete, you know what? I'm on this smooth jazz train now. I don't want to rock the boat. But
yeah.
No, you stepped on the water. And by
well,
God,
I,
you...
I will
go ahead.
Say, Trish, I just want people to watch probably later this year. I'm writing a ton of music right now. I've got a song which we're going to try and get produced for the summer. It is in the Lucky in Love feel, just an upbeat, happy summer song. It's actually called Summer of Love. So watch for Summer of Love. Hopefully, got to get it out by the summer, right? It'd be dumb to release Summer of Love in December. So that's the next single, and it's back into the, you know, the more accessible groove that we've heard. I've got a whole bunch of new material for the next CD, which is the current working title is Random Outbreaks of Happiness. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with that. It's a work in progress. It's in the early stages, but watch for it. There's more great music coming.
Wow, I love that, and you'll always be creative because you're just made that way. So, you know, as much as you have said. You know, what you have said about Leah and hoping that she stays authentic, no worries as far as you are concerned. Whatever you turn out is going to be true to Pete Gitlin, so thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. And now you know that I'm going to play Cowboys and Indians.
Let's go with some country jazz with electric sitar on it.
Of course, because what else could we do?
why not? And Trish, thanks for having me on the show again. It is truly appreciated. You've got a great show, and you do wonderful stuff, and I really do enjoy talking to you.
Well, and likewise, Pete. And anytime you want to come back because you've got Summer of Love stuff going on, you know you've got a place here.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, Pete. God love you. Thank you.
Thank you. Later.
All right. See ya. Pete Gitlin. Bless his heart. Oh, my gosh. This is from Amplify. We have not played this song on Hybrid Jazz because I was just saving it for an occasion. We were getting into some hot and heavy stuff, and we played Epiphany for the children, and we talked about the whys and wherefores and the necessary information about that song. But this is just so different, and it's one of the reasons why you should buy Amplify. PeteGitlin.com, G-I-T-L-I-N. Go buy it and listen to Cowboys and Indians on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
is Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
When I think about your loving, the sunny evenings, the fun we used to share, looking through the memories in my mind. Since I've laughed and cried and thought it's over, now I realize that it's never over, only set aside. Thoughts are only wandering through the memories in my mind. How could love for real have turned so empty? I just keep wondering why. Will I ever find the love we shared together?
Of course, you know that on Hybrid Jazz, we take any excuse possible to play that song. Is it going to play again? Oh, I didn't know that we had the full-length version. I thought it was the edited. Hope it didn't ruin the mood for you. I don't think so, because George Duke never did that for anybody. He never ruined a mood, did he? Lord, that was sweet. The Clark Duke Project, 1987. You know, when those two fellas came together, they had had some success by themselves, but they were looking for a project to do, and this, man, they had their challenges with it, because you heard George, God bless him, talk on this show about how much of a struggle it was to get the song heard, for God's sake, because people perceived of them as a black act in some circles, and they were too. Did George use this word? Too black in some circles for it to be played on pop radio. Too lightweight for them to be played on the urban stations. MTV would not play the song because they were African American. I'm just telling you what it was, because this is what George told us at the time, and he was mad, as you might suspect, but that song is going to outlive all of us. It really will. Sweet Baby, one of the best ever. Stanley, by the way, I think of Stanley so often, anybody who's hearing this can tell him, because I wonder what it's like behind closed doors, him missing George. Stanley is one of those Roxborough guys from Philly who keeps things under wraps, and maybe when he gets behind closed doors, he lets it go. But he is doing his touring. He's actually doing Stanley Clark Presents School Days. Yeah. And then he's doing Jazz in the Gardens, and then he's going to be at Blue Note a little bit later on in the year. But he's got a varying array of different folks that he uses around him. It's just wonderful. And he loves to mentor the young people, which we all appreciate so much we can't even say. Middle song was Brian Bromberg. Yes, from Compared to That. Actually, if you didn't know, Brian used to play with Les McCann and Eddie Harris. He was thinking of Compared to What. He didn't want to do that. He wanted to do Compared to That. Thought that was so cool. 10-piece horn section in this. He wanted to combine the previous two efforts that he did. So he put a whole lot of these straight-ahead songs, oh, I love it, on this CD. And it's sort of like old school with new twists. On that particular song, Hayride, piccolo bass, banjo, and violin, courtesy of Charlie Bisharat and Bela Fleck. Woo! And it's funny, too, I forgot about this. Brian Bromberg is originally from Arizona. So we heard Pete Gitlin to start the set doing his Cowboys and Indians thing. And I thought, well, let's put Arizona in the house, shall we? Lord knows they were today the subject for conversation. Mm-hmm. We are going to get to some more songs this hour. Two of the songs that I want you to make note of, brand new songs, artists that we have not played on Hybrid Jazz, and they deserve to have mention. Thank you, Rick White, in the Washington, D.C. area, for introducing me to Nia Simmons. She's on the way, as are Butch and Rhonda Coleman. Beautiful couple who I have known now for a few years. They're going to have a CD release party this coming Sunday, have a breathtaking new project out called Night Sketches. You're going to be hearing from Butch and Rhonda and Nia. First, I wanted to make mention of this, and I'm going to get through this without crying. 2 years ago, we had a guest on Hybrid Jazz. His name was Roy Cross, one of the most brilliant and unique characters that I have ever known. Roy was born in the port of Spain in Trinidad, made his way all across the world, wound up blissfully in our city. And at the time he was doing the interview, I didn't know that he was suffering from cancer, which even at that time was considered to be terminal. And he left us last week. And you can listen to that interview from February the 2nd, I believe, on Hybrid Jazz. And you can hear the love in his voice and the absolute breath of peace in his every word. He was a wonderful man that we're going to miss terribly. Just so amazing on steel drum, I can't even say. Roy, and I'm okay saying this. Roy had a blog about his journey with cancer. It's called Crossworks blog. C-R-O-S-S-E Works blog. It's through WordPress, and you'll be able to find it. He is doing a song here that I want you to hear, because it's one of those songs that's a Joe Beam song, but Aloysio de Oliveira wrote it for his wife, Sylvia Tellez, who was killed in a car accident after the song was written at the age of 32. And it's really one of those songs. I'll tell you afterwards what one of the lines in the song is, but this is Gingy on Hyper Jazz. Roy Cross. Thank you.
Hyper Jazz. When I first heard this lady, Nia Simmons. We were Facebook friends. She was so wonderful because this is what she did. She reached out to me to introduce herself via mail, and she said, I want you to hear a couple of songs that I've done,
And if you could consider them, that's wonderful. She did it in such a way, I thought, you know, my father would love Nia Simmons because she is just the consummate in customer service. This is what you do. So I was enamored with the song that you just heard, Used to You, because it's got a very different beat, written and produced by Deja Bell and Maddie the Chef, who were up and coming on their own. So they got together with Nia, and they formulated this song for her, Used to You. And I love the idea that, first of all, Nia is based in the Washington, D.C. area, and she does consider herself to be an R&B and soul vocalist. But what I like is that what you think that you're going to hear is not what is delivered. There is this real different kind of beat, and it's just off the mark. So you're keeping up, and your ear is going in a direction that is really pleasing because there's not a lot of songs that sound like this. So, Nia, my hat is off to you. Deja Bell, Maddie the Chef, really cool job. No wonder this is in heavy rotation in the UK, and it's also getting airplay on some U.S. online stations and in Africa as well, Used to You. And I heard that the title of that song, and it made me realize that what I wanted to play close to it, if not back-to-back, was Gingy. I played Roy Cross for you, that extended steel drum piece, and one of the lyric, the passages in that song is, "Don't you know, Gingy, I'd be running around and searching for you like a river that can't find the sea. That would be me without you, my Gingy." So it just tied it together, and I can say it to you without crying because it's going to be a situation where we're going to miss Roy Cross very, very much, and that's why I wanted to play Nia Simmons in conjunction with Roy, so I wouldn't cry when I told you that. Whew, Used to You, the single that dropped from Nia the 4th of February. So if you possibly can, make sure that you friend her on Facebook, and I believe, and she'll tell me if I'm wrong because I know she's listening, but you can find all sorts of wonderful accolades about Nia Simmons online. We heard Roy Cross, of course, and we want to hear a couple of songs before we say goodbye to you today. I think that possibly we can do this. I wanted to play Ahmad Jamal because I always say that we're going to play him and then never do, so I wanted to get to Saturday Morning, the title of his most recent work in 2013. Just beautiful. This will put you in a good frame of mind. And then we're going to follow it up with Butch and Rhonda Coleman, something really fabulous from a brand new project from them on Hybrid Jazz. Thank you. see. Let me tell you something. When I first got this CD, this is over the weekend, so I had it for the weekend, and I was listening all weekend. This is Butch and Rhonda Coleman and a CD called Night Sketches. Now, they have roots in this area, and how I got to know Butch and Rhonda, and I'm going to explain who's on this particular track and the CD, which is just amazing, originals. When the wonderful restaurant slash venue was operating full tilt in Harford County, next to Baltimore County, up the road called Bliss, some years ago, not that long ago, but you've heard me mention the place. Bliss was cooking on all cylinders, and Butch and Rhonda Coleman played there frequently, and people were blown away each and every time because here's Rhonda. When you hear her sing, I'm going to play another song on Thursday, by the way, because they have a CD release party. When you hear Rhonda sing, you go, oh, my God, I don't know if I've heard anybody being that honest when they sing. She is so honest. She's on keyboard. Butch is singing background. He's doing the bass. And it was smoking. Every time people knew that they were going to play Bliss, the place was packed. Standing room only. I'm not lying. So anyway, here comes, finally, we've been waiting for this for the past few years. And shout out to Liz Kipple for doing some really great photography as far as this cover is concerned, the back, the insert. Butch and Rhonda Coleman CD release party coming up at the Creative Alliance on Eastern Avenue in Baltimore this Sunday from 5 until 9. So you have time to go home to see the Academy Awards, okay? There's a whole lot of people who are coming to this. The who's who of really amazing talent in the area. Just to let you know who was doing Malibu right there, Rhonda and Butch wrote the song and arranged it. Horn arrangement by the great Greg Boyer on trombone and Greg Thomas on saxophone. Rhonda on keys, Butch on bass, Dennis Chambers on drums, guitar, Robert Wawa LeGrand, Benny Cowan on trumpet. This is the caliber of talent that you'll find on this brand new CD, Butch and Rhonda Coleman, Night Sketches. Whew, I'm telling you, I'm high. I am high just telling you about it, can I just say? So we've got to wrap this up, and we did play Ahmad Jamal, if you didn't know, right beforehand. And I'm going to tell you, this is one of those other CDs. It's Bliss. Ahmad on keyboard, Saturday Morning, the title track, and with him, Reginald Veal on double bass, Herlin Riley on drums, Manalo Badrina on percussion, just smoking. And Ahmad is touring, God bless his heart, he's going to be 84 this year, beautiful shows at performing arts centers and festivals, Fritz Russell Jones, who became Ahmad Jamal. Such a pleasure to play such great music. Thank you to Pete Gitlin for stopping by. For Beach in the chat room, Micah Chevalier for stopping by. Yay. Nia Simmons, awesome stuff, girl. We'll talk to you soon. And Maddie, the chef, who's listening to the show today, too. Maddie, thanks for the production on Nia's song. Man, it was just so nice. Coming up, do I have to tell you, on Thursday, it's Kyle Eastwood. Yeah. Just got finished. He might still be, as a matter of fact, wrapping things up with Dad on a new soundtrack. Let Kyle tell you what the soundtrack is, because it'll be a surprise. Yeah. So I got two numbers for Kyle, and by the way, I think one of them is Dad's landline. Don't say I said anything, okay? Thank you so much for hanging out with the Hybrid Jazz chat room crew or just listening in the privacy of wherever you are. Close to 105,000 people have tuned in so far. Whew, it's a good year so far. God bless you. We'll see you on Thursday with Kyle Eastwood on Hybrid Jazz.